Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is All Things Considered on 90.9 WBUR. I'm Steve Brown, in for Sasha Pfeiffer. The testimony is complete, and next week jurors will begin deliberating the murder and racketeering charges against acknowledged Boston mobster James Whitey Bulger. The final day of testimony was a disappointment for many, including relatives of people Bulger is accused of killing. That's because Bulger did not take the stand. WBUR's David Boeri reports from federal court in Boston.
At 10:30, John Moderato, the self-admitted killer of 20 people, looking like Bono in sunglasses with an extra 15 pounds of fat on his face, stepped off the stand as the last witness for the defense. Lawyer J.W. Carney called for a recess, and he and attorney Hank Brennan walked into a room with the defendant. It was decision time for Bulger. Last year, and even earlier this year, Carney had been clear Bulger would take the stand. He has no secrets, and Bulger had promised in letters to take the stand. In that, he had been like his convicted former FBI handler John Connolly, who had made the same pledge. "Wait until you hear my facts and my evidence," he said, before deciding to never take the stand in his trial. He was convicted. When Bulger and his lawyers returned to the courtroom, he was chewing gum, which he had not done before in the courtroom. He tossed his glass case down. He had a legal pad with notes on it that he lifted from the desk and put down a couple of times. Nerves, perhaps, before taking the stand. In the row reserved for the Bulgers, his brother Jackie was absent for the first time in the trial. His brother William wasn't here either, which might have been a signal if he had, since he hadn't been here at all for the trial. It was 10:55 when the judge took the bench and looked to Carney. "The defendant will rest," he announced, and the families made an audible groan. "Coward," called out the wife of murder victim Michael Donahue.
"It's official, ladies and gentlemen,"
said Donahue's son, Tom, afterward outside the courthouse.
"Boston's notorious gangster is pretty much going to go down in history as the biggest rat coward, I think, to ever walk the streets of Boston."
The Donahues had hoped Bulger would take the stand and tell what he knew about the FBI, and maybe about murders. Maybe even identify the masked man who witnesses said was with Bulger the day Michael Donahue was murdered. Pat Donahue was his wife.
"He had nothing to lose, and he really wanted to put the government in its place. I don't know why he didn't have the nerve to get up there and do that. So as far as I'm concerned, he's a coward."
Inside courtroom 11, while the jury was still out, the judge asked Bulger if he made his decision after careful consideration and after consulting with his attorneys. "Are you making this decision voluntarily?" she asked. And now Bulger spoke after weeks of silence, save for the occasional hiss of expletives spit at his former associates and now enemy government witnesses. Bulger was agitated and angry. "I'm making this choice involuntarily, because I feel like I've been choked off from giving an adequate defense and explain about my conversation and agreement with Jeremiah O'Sullivan," he said. O'Sullivan was the federal prosecutor who led the organized crime strike force in the late 1970s and 80s. And this is what Bulger had hoped to use for a defense of immunity, but was denied. "The agreement," said Bulger, "was for my protection of his life. In return, he promised to give me immunity." Judge Denise Casper cut Bulger off. "I understand your position, sir." All she wanted to know was whether he voluntarily chose not to testify. Outside the courtroom, attorney Anthony Cardinale, who has represented other organized crime targets, was celebrating the fact that his prediction was right. Some of his clients had been targeted by the FBI and their informant, Bulger.
"This little dog and pony show he just pulled when he starts by saying that he had saved O'Sullivan's life, that's a bizarre fabrication. You think if that happened, there wouldn't be some record in the files of the FBI or somewhere giving him a pat on the back, attaboy, for what you did? No, what we have is 800 pages of the rat informant information he gave out over the years. That's what we have."
Back inside, Bulger kept going. "As far as I'm concerned, I didn't get a fair trial. This is a sham." Bulger and his lawyers had vacillated about what to do. Many now expected him to take the stand after having come to expect he wouldn't do what he had promised before. The decision came very late in the process. Attorney J. Carney.
Right now, I'd say Jim Bulger is at peace with his decision. I met with him afterwards. He was very calm and very pleased that he made the decision that he did because he feels it's the right one.
Bulger's former right-hand man, Kevin Weeks, had told me Bulger would take the stand. He would say what he wanted under direct examination and then tell the cross-examining federal prosecutor where to go, said Weeks. That didn't happen. But Weeks said that was because he thought Bulger didn't want to implicate any of his family and friends.
People were calling him a coward.
That's the farthest thing from the truth. He's a lot of things, but he isn't a coward. And that's what makes him so dangerous. He's not afraid. He has no fear of any man.
But at taking the stand, Bulger chose to remain silent, which is every defendant's right, if not necessarily keeping the vow he had made earlier. Inside, and before the jury returned to be told that the defense closed, Bulger told the judge, "Do what yous want with me." The jury will start deciding that next week. At the federal courthouse, I'm David Boeri for WBUR.